It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
It's like my first day on the job.
That's how it should be done.
Number five.
All right, there you go. Marnie Yang, remember her?
I do.
She is a woman who was convicted of murdering Sean Gale, the former Chicago Bear, his pregnant girlfriend, Ronnie Reuter.
Right, prosecutor said it was like a lover's spat. She was jealous of his new girlfriend.
This is 12 years ago. It was one of those stories that just absolutely it stopped Chicago in its tracks mm-hmm. for the couple of days it was being investigated, because you do have the pregnant girlfriend of Sean Gale murdered. First of all, you had this woman murdered up in the North Shore, opening mm-hmm. up her front door and then gunned
pregnant
down.
Woman, right.
Right. And multiple gunshot wounds. And so the question of what was that about? And then all of a sudden it was tied to Sean Gale. And then Sean Gale was brought in, arrested, and were taken into custody and questioned for days. And they thought, what's going to happen here? And then all of a sudden the attention turned to Marnie Yang, who was Sean Gale's other estranged girlfriend. And that story became very bizarre. Very played out in a lot of different ways, because she had at one point gone to a diner and talked to a friend of hers, Marnie did, and basically made a confession to her friend, and that was used as a way to pressure her into pleading guilty to the murder.
They even at one point seemed to be targeting one of her children for carrying it out on her behalf, and he says he felt pressure.
Yes.
One of her kids, who was 16 at the time.
So now, Ms. Yang's attorney, she's in prison right now. She's been in prison for the last decade. She, her attorney, she's got an attorney, Jed Stone, who had a press conference today, and says that recording from back then, in which Yang said she planned to make a story up, there was when she went to the diner and she told the story, right before that there was a phone call mm-hmm. that was recorded, in which she says that she was going to go make up the story so that would take the pressure off other people in her family.
One is a tape where Marnie says to Passion, "I'm just going to make shit up." And the other is a tape where Passion leaves the table of Denny's, goes into presumably a bathroom or a private place, and says to her handlers, "I think she saw the wire." Marnie did see the wire. She knew that Christy was wearing a wire. So we know that she said she was going to make shit up. And we know that she knew that Christy was wearing a wire. The problem is the jury didn't know that. Nobody bothered to tell the jury that this confession was made up. Nobody bothered to tell the jury that she knew that she was being wired.
Yeah, I want to make a correction there, because I did say that she pleaded guilty. She didn't. There was actually a trial. She was found guilty. Obviously.
There was, yeah. And it was her son who at that point looked like he might be facing some sort of charges, and that she was trying to protect him.
Right.
That he was getting pressure from investigators to confess, and he was 16, and this went down a bad path. So she was trying to... I guess her attorney saying she was trying to help him by confessing to this friend. Problem is that prosecutors apparently didn't turn this over to the defense under rules of evidence and that kind of thing in the court proceedings. And I think that's a question. Why not?
All right. Well, we'll see if they get another day in court here. But it's bringing up a story, obviously, from more than a decade ago. And then the question is, if there were a review of this and Marnie Yang were found to be not guilty in some way, shape, or form, or the whole case here being reversed, then who did it?
Great question.
Right? And then what do you do? Do you go after the son? Because it doesn't. The idea of a random attack is very unlikely. One of the other pieces of evidence that the attorneys are using here too is that Marnie did own a 9mm pistol, but that pistol, according to a police report, had been stolen months before from her. Her registered pistol. Doesn't mean you can't get another pistol. Doesn't mean it's still unclear. I don't think they ever recovered that
A lot of strange details in this.
Yeah, it is. It's not. I hate bringing this whole thing back up.
But there might be a new trial, so it may be front and center pretty soon.
Checking in at
number four.
Oh, well, it was an interesting day in Washington.
It was.
The president was unleashed during a White House appearance today. He was asked whether he deems his enemies to be treasonous, and while answering, he blasted House Intelligence Rep Adam Schiff, calling for his resignation.
This is a fraudulent crime on the American people, but we'll work together with Shifty Shift and Pelosi and all of them, and we'll see what happens, because we did absolutely. I had a great call with the president of Ukraine. It was 100%. You have the transcript. And then Schiff went up, and he got up and relayed a call that didn't take place. He made up the language. Hard to believe. Nobody's ever seen this. I think he had some kind of a mental breakdown.
Well, it was a total mistake by Adam Schiff to do what he did. I got to say, it's one of the in a moment where if you're going to impeach a president of the United States, you better be
on your game with the facts.
I's dotted, T's crossed, right?
For sure.
And he got reckless, which was incredibly stupid.
He went up to a microphone and in front of the American people and in Congress, he went out and he gave a whole presentation of words that the president of the United States never said. It has to be a criminal act. It has to be. And he should resign. And some people even say it was treason.
All right. So he goes on about that. And that gets, see, what Adam Schiff did is he gave the president an opening to change the conversation from, did you try to create a nexus between the money that Ukraine was going to get for the United States for their own defense and doing this favor looking into Joe Biden and his son? And that would be the issue. That would be issues that even many Republicans on Capitol Hill agree would be the wrong thing for the president to do. But now that isn't the conversation anymore because Adam Schiff made that incredibly stupid mistake. But in the meantime, there's more activity up on Capitol Hill today. The IG for the State Department. The Inspector General for the State Department went up and dropped off a 40-page document. And it's still unclear, based on the reporting as it sits right now, where the document came from. But it is 40 pages of an explanation as to what it is that the president and Rudy Giuliani are trying to prove here. They are on a mission to prove that the Russia investigation was started by the Democrats in 2016. They believe the Bidens were behind it, and that the Bidens are crooked, as the president said also today, and that this was the whole thing was a hoax designed to take him out, and he's going to. And the president said in this same press conference, and there was the president of Finland standing next to him. There's always
he didn't
one,
have much to say.
There's always one guy
standing there
at these things, right? There's some foreign leader who's like, oh my god. And do you think that all the foreign leaders get together? They call the other foreign leaders.
What do you do?
Like the next one up. Right, and they're like, what are you going to do? It's like, I didn't know what to do. What do you do? What do you do in this situation? Are you going to call the last guy? The president from Finland's going to get a call from the next guy who's going to be there. Like, what do you do in a situation? What do we do?
Do they practice their straight man look in the mirror just to kind of not show any emotion? Right when it started, in fact, the president said, "Well, look," and he gestured to the president of Finland. Look at all the media here. Do you see how many people have shown up today? And he said something like, "They're not here for me." And they really weren't. They had very few questions,
right,
as it turned out, for the president of Finland.
Yeah.
All the questions were for the president.
Yes. It's an interesting YouTube watch if you want to see it. It really is.
Totally is.
One of your more unhinged ones. And he did get a little, the president got a little, he called he used the BS word in full today.
He did.
On the social. So, all right, we'll get to your three, your two, and your one, but first let's check in with Kim. What's coming up at the bottom of the hour?
Roe, will the special prosecutor in the Jesse Smollett case remain on the job? We'll bring you the latest coming up.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m., then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events. See Chicago, 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV.
Top 5-5 continues.
Number three.
Roquan Smith announced that he's going to play against the Raiders in London on Sunday, but he refused to discuss the nature of his personal reasons that forced him to deactivate last weekend.
You know, it's a personal issue, back to what I said, and it's just more so just looking forward to moving on, and, you know, teammates supported me, staff, organization, so just really excited for today and to get back out there with my brothers.
Mm-hmm. Nothing the press loves more than a mystery, right? Some answer to some question they know they should be
able to get.
Well,
you feel like it doesn't end there, right? There's absolutely no detail, but okay, we never will know. And
although,
maybe that's okay.
I would say that increases the chances that the Bears are going to demolish. The Bears defense is going to be very active, I think, on Sunday. I don't know what the offense is going to look like. Maybe we won't need them. A couple back sacks and maybe a pick six or two, and that's all you need. Maybe they shouldn't even get. Maybe the offense should just go out there and just try to burn the clock as much as they possibly can.
They probably will do that.
That's all there is.
That's the plan last week.
Yeah, that's all there was left. All right, here's Chase Daniel. Chase Daniel is our quarterback.
So we just gotta really be ready for anything. So we're excited about the tests they're gonna give us, and it's gonna be tough. You know, you gotta sort of prepare like this for an away game. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been over to London twice before, and it can get pretty loud over there. So we'll do all the necessary adjustments and things we need to do here for that. You know, it's crazy. We leave tomorrow, so it's a pretty short week.
Remember that time when Chase Daniel handed off the ball to Red Grange? He's been in the NFL so long.
Really?
He's like, yeah, I've been to London a couple of times. It was in World War II. I was also, and then I came back. I remember when we won the first Super Bowl with Kansas City. You're like, what?
How old are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, he's been around. It's fine. We'll take him.
It's absolutely fine.
Right.
Absolutely
game fine. Manager.
Number two.
What are you going to say about
Eddie Pinheiro? I saw Adam Hogue talking about how Eddie Pinheiro is so excited to be at Wembley Stadium because he's a soccer fan,
yeah,
of course, having
exciting.
Played soccer. That's pretty cool for everybody.
Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky. Or do you say Volodymyr? I don't know. However they do that. Has been center stage recently, right? Because of the Trump call and blah, 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 blah. But he's most famous now this week for meeting with Tom Cruise.
You're good looking.
Like in movie.
It pays the rent.
We're looking. We're seeing. Very excited about it. Very excited.
Cool.
We've been working together for 13 years, 14 years, 15 years.
It just gets longer.
It just gets longer.
We know them. Also, I know them.
Yes,
many years. Yes, many years. They didn't wrote Valkyria.
Do you understand why Tom Cruise was meeting with the president of Ukraine?
I think they're there to scout.
Oh, for a movie location.
Yes. My guess is it's Mission Impossible 92.
Okay.
The
makes sense.
Right. Cashing of the paycheck.
Well,
yeah.
He kind of would understand the president of Ukraine is a former actor himself. So it's all working out for everybody.
It is. Again.
It all makes sense, though. Don't ask any questions.
Yeah, no. Now, that's what's happening in the world, right? Of the world where we're electing people who are, around the world, all over the place, that were unexpected. And if you watch The Great Hack, you will understand what some of that is about. Not all of it, but some of it.
It's just a strange timing for Tom Cruise to be there in the Ukraine.
Right. Exactly.
You're good looking.
Yeah. Vladimir has a bit of a crush. Got a man crush.
Yeah.
Well, who wouldn't?
Right. It's Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Although Tom Cruise now looks like a 22-year-old. He looks like he's doing that age regression thing that they do in Hollywood, but he's just doing it on his own face. I don't know how they do that.
He and J-Lo.
Yeah.
Somehow.
It's unbelievable.
It's working for him.
Number one.
Last night, Jimmy Kimmel Live, Joaquin Phoenix talked about losing weight for the Joker film, which is premiering this weekend. Richard Roper is going to tell us a little bit about it coming up in just a few minutes. And his sister's reaction to the movie and the weight loss and the whole deal.
No, I think what's fun about this movie is it really keeps you guessing. Like, you don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And so I wouldn't want to ruin that for anybody. Like, I think it's fun. My sisters and my whole family came to the premiere.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, we went back to my place, and my sisters, like, got into a heated discussion about what the movie was about, what it meant, what was real, what wasn't. And it was really fun to, like, watch that. I think they were really engaged in a way that they haven't been with other movies of mine. They haven't seen my other movies, but...
It's interesting, you know, he talks about, he thinks he has a disorder as a result of losing weight for this movie.
Oh.
He lost like 60 pounds or something to make this movie.
How about getting into character and the mental sort of connection to that?
Yeah.
Doing, being so dark
for
so long.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, and pretty compelling performance.
Right. I mean, Joker's become one of those characters that you play that doesn't, you know, like Heath Ledger. It's like legendarily kind of creepy and spooky. And what happens to you in your life after you play it. They used to say that about Superman. You know, be careful. You know, things bad happen to you after you play Superman. Jesus, too. People who played Jesus in movies, weird things happen. William Dafoe seemed to be the only guy that got away with that.
He's fine.
Yeah. All right. Let's. I guess. Well, I don't know. Is he? I mean, it's,
he was before is the way he is now.
That's a good point.
The top five at five.